I was thankful for that song that was sung, How Firm a Foundation, and as a staff, we've been given a little book with that title and for this season. And the verse that our brother Eddie chose for us to consider is, Your words were found and I ate them, and Your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart, for I am called by Your name, O Lord God of hosts. And just in closing this morning, if we could just briefly consider some of the verses that speak to us about the spiritual food that we have in God's Word. Now, did you eat this morning? No, I don't mean in the dining room or in the kitchen. Did you eat here? Did we eat this morning? I mean, there's a wonderful feast spread for us. God's Word was open to us. Did we feed upon it? Let's start in Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. It's a very familiar verse because it's a verse that Jesus quoted when he was tempted in the wilderness by the enemy. He went to the scriptures to resist the devil. And so in Deuteronomy 8:3, when the enemy said, You take those stones and make them bread, how did he respond? Now you probably know without even looking it up, right? What is it? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now that's King James. And since we're celebrating 400 years, I thought maybe I ought to use King James. But I like the NIV as well, the different translations. But what is this in context? What does it say here? Verse 1, All the commands which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God hath led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna that which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, or bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. He wanted to show them what was in their hearts. And he wanted to show them that they needed to hear from him. You know, sometimes we're very, how should I say, we're very natural. I mean, we have a natural body. We're very in tune with our surroundings. We take care of ourselves. Did you take your vitamin this morning? Did you have a good breakfast? And did you exercise? I told my wife, my goal for being here at camp is not to gain weight, but to lose weight. Now that's a tough assignment, right?
Yeah.
To be at camp, we have these three good meals every day. How am I going to do that? We're concerned about these natural bodies. But he wanted them to see that they were not just natural, they were spiritual. And because we are created in the image of God, we have that capacity, that spiritual capacity to relate to him. And our spiritual man needs food. We need the Word of God to live. Have you found that to be so? And maybe God brings us into difficult places to show us how much we need Him, how much we need His Word. What's in our heart? What's in your heart? Have you found it to be so that I cannot live apart from God's Word, God speaking to me? And so this morning, and every time we come together in these days that we're here at camp, and every time we open up God's Word, we ought to expect to eat and we ought to expect Him to feed us. I think it's my dad who has said to us often that it's Jesus' greatest occupation, or the thing that He loves most, is to feed His sheep. As the Good Shepherd, He wants to feed you. He wants to lead you into green pastures. And so as we open His Word, we ought to come with that expectancy. Lord, You're going to speak to me. You're going to feed me. Let's turn over to Job 23. Verse 12. Job 23, verse 12. Maybe we can be in the 8th verse. Behold, I go forward, but He is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive Him. On the left hand, where He doth work, but I cannot behold Him. He hideth Himself on the right hand, that I cannot see Him. But He knoweth the way that I take. When He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held His steps, His way have I kept, and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of His lips. And here it is. I have esteemed the words of His mouth more than my necessary food. I have treasured the words of His mouth more than my daily bread. The thought here is that just as we eat every day, sometimes if we miss a meal, we're really disappointed. I know when I come home from work, sometimes where's the supper? And she looks at me and says, you didn't have lunch? And I said, but that was 5 hours ago. I'm hungry. And get a little cranky. I think that's a male thing, right? Yeah? Okay. I'm not alone in that. But we eat every day. Well, what about God's Word? Do you esteem, do you treasure God's Word more than your daily bread? Is it easy for us to skip a meal in the Bible, so to speak? May God help us to treasure His Word. Just as we have that hunger, that physical hunger, we ought to say, Lord, create in me a spiritual hunger. And then the verse in Jeremiah that we read before, Jeremiah 15:16. If you know anything about Jeremiah, his ministry, it wasn't an easy one. I would not have wanted to be Jeremiah. His job was to tell the people that you're going into captivity, the Lord's not going to save you, so you just better accept that fact and let them take you in captivity. Humble yourself, submit to His judgment. He'll bring you back after 70 years. And the people didn't like that. The leaders didn't like that. Why are you discouraging the people? And we know all the different things they did to him and threw him in a pit. And when he wrote out the words of the prophecy to the king, what did the king do with them? He cut it up and he threw it in the fire. He didn't want to hear what God had to say. So Jeremiah, in this chapter, I'm not going to say he's complaining, but he's saying, "Oh Lord, You know, remember me." Verse 15, "Visit me and revenge me on my persecutors. Take me not away in Thy long suffering. Know that for Thy sake I have suffered rebuke. He understood that God had given him the message. And he was only doing what God had commanded him to do. And yet he felt that he was being persecuted and suffering because of the message you've given me, Lord. But then this is how he responds to that. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. I think the thing that made it a delight and joy to him was not necessarily the message itself. You understand? The message of judgment. I don't think that's what made him rejoice. But the fact that God's word had come to him, that he knew that God had spoken to him and put his word in his mouth, that's what gave him joy. And when God speaks to us through his word, it's not always something that we're going to like. But it's going to be something that we need, that he sees we need. Maybe it's correction. Maybe it's rebuke. Maybe it's something, a warning. Maybe it exposes something that displeases him. That ought to bring joy and delight to our hearts. God is interested enough in me to speak to me. To speak to me personally. To meet me at my place of need. The wonderful thing about the Bible is it does that. You know, we read another place, the Bible is alive, it's active, it's quick and powerful. It gets right inside. It shows us what's inside. It shows us what's in our hearts. And so we ought to rejoice in the fact that God speaks to me. He speaks to me personally. You know, we come into a meeting like this, and our meeting's at home, and how many people, different people come. And everyone in this room this morning, you might have a different need, or you might be in a different place in your relationship with God. We're all not the same. We're all not at the same place in God. We don't all have the same needs. But we trust that as God's Spirit has His way, everyone can be ministered to. Everyone can hear from God. And that's a wonderful thing. And it's something we should not take for granted. I've heard the King. He came to me, and with Him came a blessing. He spoke to me and glory filled my soul. His voice I heard, so charming and so wondrous. I've heard the King, and hearing am made whole. And so Jeremiah said, your word was found. Now, in that little book, the staff left me, but in this little book, there's a reading on that. As you read through the week, you'll find that verse is expounded by Charles Spurgeon. I'm not going to try to tell you what Charles Spurgeon says. But he expounds that verse. And the thought of finding something, it has the idea that you've made it yours in reading a will. You know, if your name is in that will, you can get past all that legalese and you find that part that's for you. I found it. I found my name there. I found that the promises of God are for me. Your words were found, and I did eat them. I took them into my inner man. Right inside, it becomes part of me. What you eat becomes part of you, beloved. So I take that word of God into my inner man. It becomes part of me. It strengthens me. Hallelujah. It nourishes my soul. Hebrews 6:5. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith toward God, of doctrines of baptism, and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have made and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted, now here it is, have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. Have we tasted the good word of God? We read in the Psalms, taste and see that the Lord is good. And this word that he's given to us is good. Now it's only in the sense, it doesn't only taste good in the sense that it has good flavor. But it's good for us. It's good for us. You know, we eat a lot of different things. How many like potato chips? Caitlin, raise your hand. Barbecue, I know. We like those things that maybe aren't so good for us. And we like ice cream. Oh, when that truck comes around the block. Daddy, can we get ice cream tonight? There's ice cream in the refrigerator. Daddy, but we want it from the truck. And we have a taste for those things, right? Now, come on, adults, too. You have a sweet tooth, right? But they're not always good for us. But this is the good word of God. This is good for you. This is what you need. Just one more passage that talks about that, and it's in 1 Peter 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Why is it that God speaks to me? Why is it that God has given me his word? Because he's gracious. He comes down to, as it were, my level. And he speaks to me. He gives me his word. But there's just one thought here that I'd like to close with, and it's this. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Why is it that we don't feed more upon God's word? Why is it that there may be a lack of desire on our part? Why is it that Peter had to write and say, desire the sincere milk of the word? It talks about appetite, doesn't it? Sometimes we have cravings. I remember my wife during, I don't know which child it was, there was certain cravings. I had to go out and get the Starbucks latte with an extra shot of espresso. You wonder why the girl has curly hair, right? That was a craving. A desire. I have to have it. I have to have that. Well, how do you feel about the Bible? Do you have to have it? You know, in considering the history of the English Bible and reading some of those stories, you know, people didn't have the Bible in their language. They didn't have it. And how they would desire to have it, just a page. People were willing to risk their lives and lay down their lives so that you and I could have this Bible in our language. They desired that God's word would be available to everyone. And God has a great desire also. He wants you to have his word. He wants it to find a place in your heart. Now, what about you? What about me? Again, just thinking about in the natural. how often mom would say to me as a boy, don't eat that now because it's going to spoil your appetite, right? I wanted a cookie. I wanted a snack. And it was right around supper time. How many times did I say, David, don't eat that now because mommy's making supper? God has given us a good word, good food. And sometimes we snack. We fill ourselves with the things of this world, and we no longer have an appetite for the things of God. Is that true? It shouldn't be true, but it is. We can fill ourselves with a lot of other things. This world, as we heard, it's 24/7. We're bombarded, as it were. If we allow. And if we allow those things to fill us up, then we're not going to have a desire for God's Word. We're not going to have a desire for the things of God. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. He filleth the hungry with good things. And so if we see that we don't have this desire, and if we see that we're not growing, have you grown this year? David, have you grown this year?
Yes, 2 inches.
2 inches. And Audrey, did you grow this year? You didn't grow? Yes, you did. You grew a lot. And if my children didn't grow, I would say something's wrong. I'd take them to the doctor and say, what's going on? How come my children aren't growing? The same thing as Christians. If we're not growing, we ought to say, what's wrong? What's wrong? Am I not eating? Am I not feeding? Am I not getting the nourishment that I need from God's Word? And as Christians, that growth should never stop. You know, it's not like we arrive at some point and I stop growing. No, there's always more that God wants to do, that God is working in me. And so I want to grow in grace and in knowing Him. And how does that take place? It's by His Word. By His Word. And so, Lord, take away the desire for other things. And that requires discipline. That requires, we have to put our will on, as it were, on God's side and say, Lord, okay, I'm gonna do what you say. I'm gonna put aside those things that I know keep me from your word. Is it easier for us to turn on the TV or to open our Bibles? Oh, but I'm tired, I just wanna vegetate, you know? And so I plop down there. And meanwhile, God is saying, why don't you open your Bible? Why don't you spend time with me? Why don't you get into my Word? Why don't you let my Word get into you and transform you and change you and make you new and give you life? And so may we with Jeremiah say, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. And so, beloved, in these days, let's treasure this book. Let's allow God to speak to us and to satisfy us with His goodness.